Welcome to this workshop, Effective School Management. There are more outlines if you want to hand one up for. So the little topic description that they put in the handouts says, what does the board need to do to be effective? What does it take to really get things done? To get a school working smoothly and operating as it should? What do you do to take care of your teachers? When I thought about that, what does it take to get the job done? I thought of a group of young men and fathers, middle-aged family men, who moved 1,000 miles from eastern Ontario up to northwestern Ontario in the late 60s. Some moved from Ohio, the state of Ohio, starting a new community there, who found themselves trying to pay for properties and find a way for their families, provide for their families in a new community. And as if that wasn't enough, they got the conviction that they should start their own school. They should have a private school. And I can only imagine that they were wondering, what does it take to get it done? They didn't have a budget going on where they had money saved up. They didn't have property. They didn't have a building. They didn't have teachers or curriculum. They didn't have past experience from the community that they came from to where they went. But they felt like private school was what they needed. Like, how's this going to happen? Where do we start? So, I hear say over here in Sleeman, 17 miles away, there's a building, two-story building, that we could probably have for moving it. Someone volunteered. And Brother Tillman said, you can have a couple acres off my farm. We need a place to put it. And this was in the middle of winter. But they didn't wait till spring. They, in fact, it was during Christmas holidays. They went and jacked that old building up, came up with some kind of axle system to put underneath there to transport it. It would have been too tall to go down the road, so they had to take the roof off, lay the rafters down, and even then, the way I understand, they had to lift wires so they could pass under. This was all in the middle of winter. Keep in mind, this is up just across the river from International Falls, Minnesota, one of the coldest, often the coldest spots in the lower 48. So, dressed up in their woolens and insulated coveralls and heavy gloves, they moved this building and set it up on Brother Tillman's property there. I don't think they had, they didn't have indoor restrooms that first year. They didn't have running water. They had some wood stove to heat the place. But you know, 50 years later, today, they're still using that building. After many coats of paint and going underneath it, put a basement, block basement underneath it, add another classroom in time, added an entryway for lunchbox shelves and coat hooks for the children. And so what does it take to get the job done? I'm sure you would have similar stories from your communities. Maybe they didn't have a lot of resources. Maybe they didn't have past experience to draw from, but they had determination, and they had a conviction that it was necessary and worth the effort, whatever it took. So what does it take to be effective? I picked out some points. One is it takes men of vision. Men who believe in the Christian school. And you know the difference, right? Someone has said there's a vast difference between a person with a vision and a visionary person. The person with a vision talks little but does much. The person who is visionary talks much but does nothing. That's not original with me, because I don't know if I quite agree with that. I appreciate the visionaries, the ones that do the talking. Often that's where it starts. But somebody has to put the gloves on and make it happen. Supportive board members of vision with a passion for education is vital to the success of any Christian school board. And I wanted to be sure to give credit to David Martin, David L. Martin from Rochester. Most of you probably saw this little booklet, School Board Members, Ideas and Checklists for School Board Members. Some of the things that I'm saying today, I would have taken from him. And also, Gary Miller, not the Gary Miller that writes all the books on finances, and not Gary Miller from North Carolina that writes those meaningful devotionals, but Gary Miller from Faith Builders, or at least he has served at least 5 years on the Faith Builders educational program. Some of you may know him. I have never met him. But I'm quoting him some of the time, some of my thoughts at least I took from what I read of his writing. So if you, as men of vision, do you know what you want as school board members for your school? Can you describe in one sentence what you want to happen there? Why you go to the work and the expense of having a school? Are you pleased or are you satisfied with the graduates that are coming out of your school? Can they give a meaningful graduation speech? Are they ready, prepared for life? Do you have a mission statement as a school? Purpose. When did you last read that? And does the latest board member who joined the team, did he see that? Does he know what it is? And I think a mission statement or can be a little bit like a grocery list or shopping list. It can be a good thing in that you can look back and make sure it happened. But it also has its negative side, at least if you're like me. Sometimes there's a grocery list and something else comes up that you need. And you go to town, maybe at the end of the day of work, you got this list, you get what's on the list, and you go home, and there's something that you should have brought home. You were told at least twice that you should have brought that, we need that, but it wasn't on your list, and so it did. You kind of cleared yourself. And so that's the danger of a mission statement, I would say. It's not the final. There's always need for paying attention, maybe changing, maybe adding something, bringing it up to date. What does it take to be effective? It takes men of responsibility. And I think, at least what comes to my mind, we often have board members that are ready to do the job. They want to do what they're supposed to do, but maybe they don't know what it is. Like, they never got a job description. So I thought, let's talk about right now, make a little list of what the responsibilities are. Do we have anyone here who is a board member for the first year? No, so you all have experience and ideas, that's good. But I feel for somebody who is a board member and is looking for what his job is. So in our case here, it sounds like, or looks like, we've all had some practice. I thought about writing them down, but let's just talk about them at least. You help me out. What's your job as a board member? What are you supposed to be doing? Or maybe what do you want to do better this year than something that was missed last year? Okay, that's important, to have scheduled meetings with your teachers as a board. Make sure it happens. And I think a good way to make that happen is to, I guess that's maybe what scheduled means, is to not just we're going to do it sometime, but we're going to do it every Monday evening, the first Monday of the month, or whatever that day is, so that everybody knows. Schedule it. What else?
Try to listen to what's going on from the teacher's aspect and also from the students. Seems like they melt it that way.
That's right. Heard one somebody referred to that as paying attention to the prevailing wind, I think, knowing which way things are going or where things are coming from. It might vary from some communities. They have a separate school building from their church building, and so the board is responsible for the upkeep of the building and the grounds. Other communities, maybe that falls under the trustees of the church. Choose and approve curriculum. That's not necessarily all on the board. It can involve the whole church. But finally, the board is responsible to make sure it's happening, make sure things are up to date. Are you thinking of anything else? Or more informal and relaxed, connecting in that way. As board members, you should know the workings of the school enough to be able to talk about them intelligently. I don't know that you have to know the title of every history book that's being used in the school, but at least have a good sense of what's being used, the curriculum, and whether the tests are still available for that book, or whether the teachers are making them up, producing them, or bringing them in from somewhere else. Just know what's going on, where things are coming from, and how it's getting done. And that's all part of having your monthly meeting, or however often you have your meeting.
I think it's good also that teachers, especially new teachers, are sometimes don't kind of what we expect as far as coming to the curriculum. I think we're learning that sometimes it's like, oh, we're going to finish this and we're going to finish that. Whatever if we want it, then we better tell them.
Okay. That's one of the things on my notes is make sure they understand what's expected and that there's a balance there of well, I called Robert Heatwall, an old peer of mine who's been teaching for over 20 years, and I told him about my assignment here, and I asked him if there's anything he would want me to tell his school board if I was talking to his board. And that was one thing he brought up, is just that communication, giving the teachers the liberty to do, especially when you have teachers that have worked with their books. You were referring more to new teachers, but finding that balance and not putting too much pressure on the new teacher as far as this is what we want to done, this we want grades. I think it's good to have policies, but also to give a new teacher room to develop and not scare them off the first year with overwhelming expectations. So board members may need to guide their teachers, especially new teachers, correct them sometimes, and more than anything, probably show appreciation for what they're doing. And when I thought about that, I thought about, it's either the first or second year I was teaching, I had one of the school board chairman's daughters in my, as one of my students. And one morning when I, before school started, I got this phone call, and it was the chairman. And he had a question for me. He said, is it true that you're telling the students that it's okay to throw banana peelings out the window? And I had to think a little bit, did I say that? And sure enough, just a couple days before that, we were having a class discussion about littering and what constitutes littering. And we lived way up in the sticks, like everybody had gravel roads to school. And somewhere in the conversation I had said, you know, I make a difference between throwing out plastic and paper versus an apple core or a banana peel where the birds are going to come and pick it up, and you're, in a way, you're feeding the birds. And that's how I had, that's what we had been talking about. Well, anyway, he was on his way home from school and his daughter threw her banana peel out the window and he got after her. Well, Mr. James said that it's okay to throw banana peels out the window. But he wanted me to take that back to class and straighten that out. Like, he felt like I was maybe working against him or tearing down what he was trying to instill in his children. And so that was a good lesson for me. It didn't hurt me to go back and talk to the class that, you know, throwing things out the window, I was thinking it's okay to feed the birds, but that is actually a form of littering. So that's but teachers might need some help sometimes and clear things up. But I also remember another board member sitting in the back of my classroom when I was up there teaching, and for some reason I remember that day one of my students had misspelled the word friend again. You know, you spell Fred with a F-R-E-D, and so friend, why wouldn't you spell it F-R-E-N? Okay, there's an I in there. But anyway, so that was, I'm a little bit dyslexic, and that was something I struggled with as a child, is that I before E rule. And so I was up there and I told the children, the way I remember how to spell friend is F-R-I. Friends are supposed to be forever. And so if you fry the ends together, they'll never come apart. And after school, that board member said, he appreciated that. You know, he said, I don't think I'll ever forget how to spell friend again. But he also told me how he appreciated that he could easily hear what I was saying from the back of the classroom. And just little, that meant a lot to a first or second year teacher to have a board member who maybe made you feel a bit nervous come and tell you that you're doing a good job and you're doing some things right. So don't forget to do that. Another thing as board members, you should respond to teachers' requests and concerns quickly. Maybe they're wondering if it's okay if they plan to go to a wedding and they ask you about it. Get back to them. And if you do need to wait until you talk to the other board members, tell them what you're doing. Tell them, okay, I'm going to be talking to the other board members on Tuesday night. I'll get back to you Wednesday morning. Now just let them know what to expect. Don't leave them hanging, and for sure don't forget what they are wondering about. So visit the classroom was already mentioned, and report observations to the board. Maybe you visited it at the end of the school day. And when the school was started, maybe there was just three families. It was a small school, and the vehicles came in and picked up their children and left, and it wasn't a big deal. But as the years go by, the school grows, there's more cars, there's more children, and you might notice that, you know, we really need to do something different. The way the vehicles come in and then they back up and then leave, somebody sooner or later is going to be at the wrong place, and you should be, as a board member or a lead teacher, observe those things and do something about that. Establish school policies. Write things down. Interview prospective teachers. Interview prospective patrons. Families from the community or someone who's hoping to send their children to your school. Plan schedules related to holidays, how many days you're going to take off. And the less enjoyable, resolve major discipline problems. But like we heard this morning, look at it as an opportunity, working together, don't make it more negative than it has to be. But address it if it has to be addressed. And manage the finances of the school. There again, that might vary. Maybe some communities the deacon does that. Some schools have the treasurer. Sometimes it's a joint effort. But it has to be done. Are you thinking of anything else as responsibilities for board members? Good point. Just something that could be clarified up front rather than having to deal with it later and trying to straighten something out that is less than ideal. Maybe it could even be written in your school policy so that it's... I think it's a good idea if you have a meeting with your teachers before school starts. Especially if you have teachers that weren't there the year before. But anyway, either way, you should have that meeting, orientation. Make sure everybody's on the same page and knows what you're expecting in some of those areas. Anything else? Okay. Make sure the school's ready before school starts. Put some forethought into that. Teachers often like to, especially if they're coming from a distance, now they finally get to the community and they finally get to the classroom that they're going to be working in or out of, and it's not ready, or they still want to bring the whole church in here and clean. I was going to be putting things on the wall by now. So be considerate of your teachers in that way.
That's another good thing I think is important is when you have a fairly new chairman. In other words, I mean, every school is probably different, but just from my own personal experience, I was on the board the second year when I got put on as chairman, and I was barely got my head wrapped around what all was happening until I was put on as chairman. But thankfully, the chairman that went off the board was willing to walk beside me that first year and help me a lot. He had no obligation to do that, but lost. So I think if you have a chairman that's fairly new on the board of Denver, I think step beside him, even if you're not on board.
Great. And if he doesn't offer, you might even ask. You know, depending on your... Yeah, that would be very, very valuable. Why reinvent the wheel? Men of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And this New Testament concept of stewardship, I believe that applies very much to school board members. There are those that are looking to you and depending on you. And you are accountable. The parents in the community are counting on you. The local brotherhood, ministry, the teachers are counting on you. And even the students are expecting to be, they're expecting you to do your part. They're looking to you to keep the school operating smoothly and effectively. They might not even know how to say it, but that's what they're expecting. And that's what they're needing. That's what they're reaching out for. And you are accountable. So some questions you should be able to answer. As a board member, you should be able to answer, what is the school spirit? If you don't have an answer for that, you should be doing your homework to, like what Brother Vernon suggested, visit school, talk to your teachers, know what's going on. What are the attitudes toward school work? What are the attitudes on the playground? What are the attitudes toward each other, student to student, then student to teacher, teacher to student? What are the attitudes toward school property? And just school in general. I think the board can play a big part in that school culture and that spirit that, if it's on the wrong foot, it can take a lot of work to put some forethought in what you're expecting of your teachers and just what is the school spirit. Another question is, do the teachers feel equipped, encouraged, and supported? What are their biggest concerns? You as a board member should know that about your teachers. If they are concerned about something, or they are stressed in a certain area, whatever, you should be paying attention to that and figure out if there's something you could do to bring some relief or to take that weight off of their shoulders so they can concentrate on teaching in some cases. Another question, I probably took it from David Martin's book, is how well are parents' expectations for their children at school being met? What concerns do they have that you should address? And maybe that could be overdone. I know you can't please everybody. You can't just switch to a different spelling book just because one mom thinks that that's the way to go. But you should be paying attention to concerns of the parents and know what they are and do what you can about keeping the school running smoothly. Another question I have is, do the students know clearly what is expected of them? Does anyone representing the school board ever visit and encourage them? Do the students know or care who the school board is? I know the teachers are there for the children in front of the class, but I think there's value in the children knowing that there's a team behind the teachers. And our school there at home, I think one good policy we have there is that the school board chairman is usually there the first day of school, has devotions, introduces the new year. Maybe you as a board all show up. But whatever the case, you should be a part of what's going on in one form or another. So what can you as board members do so that you're able to answer questions like these? And we've already talked about some of the things I've written down here. Visit school, drop in occasionally for formal or informal visits. Before school, sometimes. Be there before school starts. Watch the children come. Notice the expressions on their face. Notice the respect for their teachers or the lack thereof. Notice the, how they enter the school. Is it orderly? Is it healthy? Is the atmosphere good? Or visit school, like was already suggested, after school when the children are all gone. Or visit school right at closing, dismissal time. Visit for a half a day, as though your school is important, even though you have jobs that are calling. In one way, maybe to learn to know the children better is to help supervise at recess. Or maybe there's a game being played that, well, you have to be yourself, but there's nothing wrong with getting involved. Maybe you knew that same game, but when you were a student, you played it a different way, and they're ready for some variety. And so you can show them a different way, or a new game, or bring some new balls to school, and be a part of what's going on. I have good memories of when I was referring to those first 2 years there at Pineview where I taught. Yet another board member, other than the ones I referred to, he showed up, and I had asked the board if it's okay if I make an ice rink. So we had the students go out at recess, and we tramped the snow down and stomped it, drove the frost into the ground. And then after school, I hauled water. Anyway, we had an ice rink there at school, and one of the board members showed up for a visit, and I remember exactly how it happened, but the part I remembered is he asked if we're going to be skating again, and he went home and got his skates and came back, and he was out there skating with the children and with me as a teacher. And again, that was a little thing, but to me it showed a lot of support as a teacher for what was going on at school. And the children loved it. He was a good hockey player and got into it. So it was just a board member mingling with the students and the teacher and being a part. Those are things that you can do so that you know what the spirit of the school is. Chat with the parents and the students informally as you have opportunity. You might consider developing a checklist as a board that you give to the patrons maybe every 3 years, or a little questionnaire where they could have some input in relation to curriculum that you're using or policies of the school or whatever you're feeling for, and you want input so that the parents are a part of what is happening at school, and they feel heard, and they are heard. I think there again, it could be overdone, but like maybe every 3 years would be a good idea. Or maybe you do it at every parent-teachers meeting. But involve the parents. You as a board, I think, should read school publications. Read the Christian School Builder. Read the newsletters that come out from the publishers, so you're aware of the new books that are being offered, meetings that are coming up, come to places like this, and pick up everything you can to be effective. Be aware, get the ideas that you need. And I'm talking to the wrong group because you're already here. Understand that we all have our lives to live, but that makes a good board member, somebody who is informed. And as already mentioned, invite teachers to your board meetings to sound them out and ask for their opinions on curriculum, procedures, and policies, especially after teachers have taught for a few years. And maybe if they've taught a number of years at another school and now they're in your school, you can learn some things. Not that everything needs to change, but if you can get some helpful input that way. So, serving on the school board can be a great blessing. As members of the board deliberate, plan, and act according to accurate knowledge of the issues involved, glean from the people involved. Okay, what does it take to make things go smoothly? It takes structure. We already referred to some of it. Who's responsible for what? And if you would put up a chart of the lines of authority, we all understand that God is at the top, and Christ, and the church, and the home. But then underneath, I'm not going to take the time to put it on the board, but underneath the church you have the ministry, the board, the principal, the teachers, the students. And in the home you have the parents and the children. And just looking at that chart, you soon notice that that's not quite as simple as at a factory of work as far as the lines of authority, children and students. The children of the home are the students of the school, the parents of the home. Some of them are in the ministry, some of them are on the board, one of them might be the principal. And that's not negative, it's just good for us to understand that there's potential for friction, but it doesn't have to be that way. If each person respects the other person's place, and with a little bit of oil of Christian grace, it can work very well. Continuity. Gene talked a little bit about the board chairman and finding yourself in that position. Gary Miller, he went as far as to say that, and he has spent 23 years on a school board. He went as far as to say that two signs of weak support for a school are automatic board turnover and short board term lengths. And I know I've seen it happen where a board member, the chairman maybe, hires a teacher from another state. Finally, she comes to this new community, new school. Well, that chairman's not even on the board anymore. And so she's talking to a different set of board members. And maybe the community doesn't even think about it. But that's kind of unsettling when you didn't really know that community. And I don't think that should happen. At the very least, the chairman should be at the first meeting, introduce, or somehow make that connection that, okay, I'm still here for you, but I'm not on the board. Here's who you should be talking to if you have questions. But just that continuity. Handbook policies. Board should attempt whenever possible to set policies that answer specific questions for years to come, such as how to fund the field trip or how to respond to the requests of a neighbor who wants to send their children to school. Write those things down so that next year when it comes up you don't have to talk about it again for half an hour. It's written down. We know how we did it. It worked. Let's just do it. It takes patience and forbearance because you're working with people. In closing, I'd like to read what Gypsy Smith tells of a friend, a naturalist and scientist, who one lovely summer day years ago went out in the highlands of Scotland with his microscope to study the heatherbell in all its native glory, in order that he might see it in its perfection. He got down on his knees and, without plucking the flower, adjusted his instrument and was soon reveling in its color, its delicacy, its beauty, lost in wonder, love, and praise. How long he stayed there, he does not know, but suddenly there was a shadow over him and his instrument. He waited for a time, thinking it might be a passing cloud, but it stayed there. And presently, he looked up over his shoulder, and there was an old Highland shepherd watching him. Without saying a word, he plucked the little heather bell and handed it and the microscope to the shepherd, that he too might see what he was beholding. The old shepherd put the instrument up to his eye, got the heather bell in place, and looked at it until the tears ran down his face like bubbles on a mountain stream. And then, handing back the little heather bell tenderly, he said, "Amen. I wish ye had never showed me that. I wish I had never seen it." "Why?" asked the scientist. "Because," he said, "these rude feet have trodden on so many of them." So I believe effective board members will be ones who pay attention to detail and be careful where they step. God bless you as you do your best for Him, for your community, for the children. Thank you.